Trek Geeks Podcast Network and the Divine Treasury are proud to have Fansets as our presenting sponsor. Stay tuned for a special discount code worth 10% off your order at fansets.com. Fansets, our pins have character.
This episode is also sponsored by Science Division, the makers of the world's first interactive Tribble. Stay tuned for a discount code to bring a Tribble into your home today. Science Division, Tribbles never been this fun.
From the Supply Depot at Podfleet Command, this is the Divine Treasury Podcast, and you're coming on board for our inaugural episode, so introduce ourselves. My name is Mike Bovia, and I am joined by my co-host, Jamie Rogers. Jamie, how's it going today?
It's going excellent today.
Because you're not working.
Yes, I am off. Finally done with the Christmas rush at United Parcel Service.
You're the only person I know that always refers to it as United Parcel Service. But that is probably because you work there, so you're giving it its proper due. So, as you guys may have heard in our introductory episode piece, the short one, we're going to be talking about collectibles mostly in this podcast, but I thought we would start off today since we're into January and discuss the fact that unfortunately we're coming to the end of 23 consecutive weeks of Star Trek on the air, new episodes. So I know, Jamie, you've been a little bit behind in Discovery because you've been watching it with your wife. About where are you guys at right now?
Yeah, so I started watching the new season, but then I had to stop. And now, of course, we're having a little bit of a snafu. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, but my CBS All Access is like not letting us. It's basically showing like we don't have an account now, even though we're like a paying customer on iTunes. And of course I've called CBS All Access and I've called, you know, Apple, and one saying it's the other one's fault. And so we may have to just bite the bullet and cancel our iTunes subscription and then go with CBS All Access. But I think we're at like episode 4, I believe, on the rewatch. So yeah, I'm a little behind,
There's some good stuff coming up that I know you will definitely enjoy.
I know I'm trying to like stay away from every realm of social media and every picture I can see. Cause I don't want anything to get spoiled, but I know there's stuff going on at a Trill place that I saw a little sneak peek of. So,
you have no idea the stuff that you are in store for in this season. It is awesome. I will tell you that.
I've loved the first 3 episodes so far. I think it's, I'll say at the end of season 2, you know, when obviously the concept of them going to the future was introduced, I really thought that I was like, how are they going to pull this off? And now that I've watched it, it's really such an original idea that I've never seen done in Star Trek. And so far, obviously, I know I haven't seen the whole season yet, but I'm really amazed at how they're doing it so far. And I just think it was a great idea and, you know, a way to differentiate this series from everything else.
Yeah. I'm looking for. So I am actually caught up, and I end up watching it twice a day, twice the first day it comes out. Cause I start work at 5 in the morning and I have a TV in my office. So, I fire up the computer and I fire up my TV and I check email while I'm watching the new episode at 5 in the morning, but then the family also wants to watch it. So then I watch it again at night. I've got only the 2 episodes left, and I'm really curious as to where things are going. And that's about all I'm going to say, since I don't want to spoil anything for you or for anyone out there that hasn't been keeping up as crazily as I have been. So the other thing that we want to do on each episode is keep everyone up to date with any new merchandise that is coming to the market relatively around the time that our episodes will be airing. Jamie, why don't you handle our first one here that's coming to the market?
Well, fan sets, obviously, I absolutely love the Women of Star Trek, Women of Trek collection. So one of the new items that's going to be coming out, and it looks absolutely gorgeous, I love the blue in it, is the Christine Chapel fan sets pin. Looks absolutely stunning. And I'm kind of a huge fan of the Master set, so I cannot wait for that Series 2 Master set to come out, so I can so that's why I'm kind of waiting to before I get all the individual ones.
Well, I'm a fan of the Master set as well, however I'm also impatient, so I've been buying them as they come out. So this Christine Chapel pin is going to be more of the same, just putting it in the drawer until the backer is ready to come out. So then the other couple things that are coming out in January, both for those who are interested in keeping up with the other side of the Star Trek universe, that being the literary side, Star Trek Picard, the second book from the Star Trek Picard series is coming out, The Dark Veil. And that's actually going to center on Riker and Troy's time on the Titan, and what they were doing, centering around the events leading into Star Trek Picard. So this isn't going to be a direct tie-in time-wise to the series. It's going to go back to the beginning, sort of the way the first Picard book, The Last Best Hope, went into how the events played out leading into the series. So I'm looking forward to that. I've actually already put it on pre-order. And then the final piece from the literary universe that'll be coming out in this month of January is Star Trek Year 5, number 18. I have not gotten into those. I've never really been a comic person. When I see something that I like, I do pick it up, but I've never kept up with the comics. I do appreciate the artwork and everything that goes into them, and the creativeness that goes into the stories. It's just, it's not enough for me.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I have, obviously, I have all the Picard comics that when they came out.
And me too.
Yep. And then I also collected all the Star Trek TNG of the Mirror Universe.
I did too.
Those graphic novels. But once again, like, you know, to your point, I appreciate more of the content, the actual story, as opposed to just the pictures. And they just obviously don't get it. They're not in a position to really cram enough information into those comics sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I remember as a kid liking to go to the, we didn't even have comic book stores in my area when I was a kid. So I would go to the local drugstore and see the comic books on the shelf and every now and then pick one up and, it whets your appetite. And then you got to go buy the next one and the next one to keep up with the story. And I wasn't disciplined enough for that. So that never happened. And I never truly got into that comic book rage. So it's now time to actually enter the Divine Treasury itself. And so to do that, the Registrar will greet us at the entrance. So our welcome to the Divine Treasury is to talk about what is new to our personal collection. So I know, Jamie, you were just telling me that you got a package in yesterday, if you want to dive into some of the stuff that you've received lately.
Yeah, so this week And I know, obviously, we've recorded some of our episodes already, but this week, some of the new items that I have had or have received, I've received my world's first interactive Tribble from Science Division. That came in earlier in the week, so I'm very excited about that. Downloaded my K7 app, and I've been dealing with that a little bit. So that's a lot of fun.
Have you had to attack anyone in the house?
Yeah. I've had an attack a few people, but definitely impressed and amazed with the quality of that Tribble. A couple other things. I did get my Voyager TNG master set. I know you got yours as well. I think we both did an unboxing for that item. So very, very impressed with that. Definitely feel that is probably my favorite master set so far. I love the design of it, and I love how all the different characters fit in together and the shape that they used. I just think it's absolutely fantastic. So I'm very, very excited about that. I did receive my Kobayashi Maru special edition from Eagle Moss. So it was the...
Is that an XL or is that a regular size?
So it's kind of it's that special edition. So it's that in between size between the XLs and the regulars. And it's not the Kobayashi Maru, obviously, from Wrath of Khan, but it's more from Into Darkness. It was modeled after the J.J. Abrams Into Darkness movie.
Gotcha.
So I got that. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that. And then as of late, I've kind of been getting into the Funko Pops. Coincidentally, somebody, a good friend of mine, bought me a Funko Pop. I only had, like, I think one or two in my collection, and just decided to get me a random Chewbacca from the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. And then, of course, that started now another little obsession. So I've now purchased all the ones from the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. But I've also, because obviously everybody knows my love of TNG, I had to go out and get the 8 from the TNG set. So just got those in yesterday. So very excited about that. That set has basically all the principal characters other than Gates McFadden. And then it has a Locutus. And it has a Klingon, very kind of reminiscent of what Worf looked like from Redemption. So pretty cool. Very excited about those. I actually also bought the containers to put them in to kind of preserve the box. So those are some of the new things that I've been purchasing. And
so wait a minute, you keep them in the box?
Funko Pop so far, they're staying in the box for right now. They actually display very nicely in the box, I will say.
They do. I agree.
Yes, so they're staying in the box for right now.
All right. Well,
how about you?
Well, like you said, we've recorded a few episodes and we've been trying to hold off on talking about the stuff that's new to our collection until we're closer to air dates. So I went just a little bit crazy on Black Friday and ordered a lot of stuff. And most of it has come in within the last week. So I had an Eagle Moss subscription. I know you've talked about this before. You weren't entirely 100% happy with like some of the order of how things came in. And I was noticing that I was getting ships and they were cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. The quality of these ships is awesome. But what I was getting was just not stuff that I was into. It looks great displayed, but it just wasn't my thing. My thing has always been the Enterprise. Any Enterprise, you throw the name Enterprise on it, and that was my thing. So Eagle Moss had a sale on Black Friday, so I went out and spent all the Quatloos, and I picked up just, I think I've got now just about every Enterprise in the standard size that they make. These aren't the XLs. I don't have space for that. So I got everything from the NXL1 all the way up to, I know people who say it's not canon, it's not on the screen, but I did order the Enterprise F special that was from Star Trek Online. So I'll have that coming in sometime in January. But one of the cooler things that I got in yesterday, it is an Enterprise. It is canon because it has been on screen, just not in the way that most people would think of. I picked up, and it's an Eagle Moss, the XCV-330 Enterprise. This is the one that showed in on the rec deck in Motion Picture when Decker was showing Ilia the pictures of the Enterprises on the rec deck. It also appeared in a picture in the 602 Club on Enterprise. It was a picture hanging above the bar. And then a model of it that was done by QMX appeared in Into Darkness in Admiral Marcus's office. So based on all of that, Eagle Moss went out and they made one. And I wasn't able to actually find it on Eagle Moss's website. I picked it up on eBay. I feel like I did pretty good for myself with how much I paid for it. So that was a cool thing that I got in yesterday. I also got in Season 2 Discovery, the card set from Rittenhouse. Very happy with that. I do like collecting the season cards, but also got a couple of autographs in there. One of them, a scarce Shahzad Latif card. I think the highlight of what I got was a Anson Mount Christopher Pike relic card from his spacesuit in Brother. So that's been my week. And you already mentioned the fan sets. Voyager set. I got that. Very happy with that as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool. Another thing that obviously I know we've talked about before, but thing that I'm looking forward to is the Enterprise D build from Eagle Moss Hero Collector Edition, obviously. So looking forward to that. I am pre-ordered for that. I pre-ordered actually back when they first tried to do this. Back in, I believe it was April of 2019, but then they decided to obviously pull it off the market and fix it up. And I will say from the videos and pictures that I've seen, it looks absolutely phenomenal. Mm. And I'm very, very excited to put that together. And I think as part of, some of our YouTube videos and some of our unboxing is maybe, I can do some videos as well of putting some of the components and the pieces together. Yeah, I think that would be really, really a cool thing to do every time I get a new set of sections for that. So excited about that as well.
Yeah, and as we go on with our new merchandise updates, that'll definitely be something that we bring up because I believe that's slated for February, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, February or March or early March, one of the two. Yeah. We'd like to take a moment to talk about our friends at FanSense. They are the presenting sponsor of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network and the Divine Treasury.
FanSense is a small business that collectors like us can get behind. They have offerings for all different types of fandoms, including Scooby-Doo, DC Comics, Batman 66, and Harry Potter.
Obviously, since Star Trek is our sweet spot at the Divine Treasury, we can talk about their over 200 licensed pins from badges to micro crew to anniversary sets. The Fan Sets website is a collector's dream. They release new pins on the 1st and 15th of every month. And as mentioned earlier, one of their releases for January is the next in the Women of Trek line. And like the rest of them, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's Nurse Christine Chapel from the original series. And this is going to be part of that, once again, that January Women of Trek edition collection.
So as a listener to the show, you can receive 10% off your next order from Fansets by using the code DIVINE at checkout. That's DIVINE, like my figure, DIVINE, at checkout. And remember that you receive free shipping in the U.S. on orders of $30 or more.
Fansets, our pins have character. And we thank Fansets for being the presenting sponsor of the Divine Treasury and the Trek Geeks Podcast Network.
So our guest tonight, we've introduced him already because he's the co-host here on the podcast. We are going to have a conversation with Jamie Rogers. So Jamie, I know, having been to your house and seen your large collection of things, that I'm not even going to ask you the question if you are a collector, because I know the answer to that is yes. So let's start off with, is there anything outside of Star Trek that you collect as a hobby?
Yes. An astounding yes. There's a lot of things. Pretty much anything I get, I collect. it can range. I collect DVDs. I collect books. You know, that encompasses novels, music books, magazines. I know we mentioned earlier, I collect cards, that range from baseball, basketball, hockey, football, non-trading cards. I collected customizable card game cards when I was younger as well. I still have a lot of those collections. Autographs is a big piece. I'm big into autographs, as you know. Mm-hmm. And that range is obviously Star Trek is the predominant one, but I have other things, other interests too. I have Star Wars, I have sports, people as well.
Music.
Music, yeah. I'm a musician as well. I'm a drummer, so I have musical instrument stuff that I collect as well, musical memorabilia, autographs in that realm. I like collecting autographed mini helmets. Football mini helmets. That's another thing. Kind of going back to the music piece. I like to collect autographed drum heads. It's kind of an interesting thing being that I'm a drummer and, actually have a lot of sentimental value with some of those. Some of those were from my teachers and, drummers that I've respected over the years.
They display nice too.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten into ships. The Eagle Moss collection. Now I have two huge cabinets full of the XL ships and the regular size ships. Thanks to you, I'm into pins now. Thank you very much. So I have pins as well. Yeah. Those pretty much predominantly Star Trek. I haven't really delved too much farther out of that. Another interesting thing I collect was 3D puzzles. I have the entire landscape of tall buildings that glow in the dark. And it's kind of a common theme that you're going to see throughout our discussion tonight is I am what you call a completist, where I have to have every single one of a certain set. It drives me absolutely berserk. So that's just another example of... I have every puzzle in that collection. Figurines, if Star Trek figurines predominantly, that really started in my childhood, obviously. And I've as I've gotten older, it's been more about collecting them in the package and things like that. But, you know, that was something that I really enjoyed as a kid. Another piece that I like to collect is the convention coins from the Star Trek conventions. I have all those now. And like I said, you know, it really comes down to, I have all these major categories. I have the sports, I have the Star Trek, I have the music, movies. So it's really, I kind of pull from those kind of those four things predominantly.
So what put you on the route? Cause I know for myself how it all started with Star Trek and my collecting of Star Trek stuff, but what put you on the road to that?
I mean, I really feel that I was a collector at a very young age. I can't really remember specifically maybe things, but I do remember obviously my love for Star Trek and, you know, the series that I really grew up on. I grew up on the movies, you know, and I started with the motion picture. Obviously that was the first thing I saw of Star Trek. And then my mother would buy me, well, not buy me, but she would go to the library and get the videos of the original series. So I saw some of those original episodes, like, you know, Arena and things like that. But I really grew up watching in live action. I was a kid at the time, but watching The Next Generation. And I really connected with The Next Generation. And so what really started my collecting, I'd say, for Star Trek was the figurines. Those figurines that came out, I believe they were 1992, I think. I'm not trying to remember what the line was.
You're talking about the Playmates figures?
Yeah, it's the Playmate okay. figurines. That's really where it started. And, you know, I had a friend that used to work at Toys R Us. and I mean, I was a kid at the time, but I mean, that all my allowance and any money I had would go to getting those. Yeah, getting those figurines. I got that entire Next Generation set. I got the entire Deep Space Nine set that came subsequently after. And then as some of the extra series had come out in those Playmates lines, I really started collecting those. And I remember the first one that was the hardest for me to get at the time was the Deanna Troi. That Deanna Troi was the rarest one. And I remember, you know, having to really try hard to get that one particular piece. But what was cool about that is, you know, those,
not
those,
that one, is it?
It is that one. Yep. The gray.
I paid $3 for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there were $5 at the time, but that was the hardest one to get. And I remember I went into a Toys R Us. It was like right before closing. And I think they had just restocked the shelves and there were two of them on the shelves. And another buddy of mine he was collecting two of every figurine. So he would have one that he would display and then one that he'd have in the box. Huge Star Trek fan. I mean, this guy, he used to draw schematics of the ships and all that stuff. But I remember going there and he hadn't found a Deanna Troi either. So,
oh boy.
When I saw two of them, I had to buy both of them because I knew he'd be looking for the other one. So, you know, obviously at that time I was a kid. So, my collecting, I still had my completist attitude where I had to have them all, but I took them out of the box and I played with them, you know, and I begged my father to get me the transporter. I begged my father to get me the bridge, which I did. So I had the bridge. I had the transporter right next to where you had the little, you know, the little dials that would go up and down and, you know, they go on away team missions. And I obviously have the whole set. So I had all the crew. I even had Q in the captain's uniform. I, you know, use him as a captain sometimes. So I played out all sorts of scenarios and all sorts of episodes got played out on that bridge playset. In fact, you know, I there was a flood at my house and I lost that bridge playset. But, you know, what kind of really brought it home for me is years later, when my son was young, I ended up going out and buying that bridge set again and gave him all my figurines. So it kind of like everything kind of came full circle with the collecting of those figurines when I was young.
I thought you were going to say that you bought it for your son, but it ended up on a shelf somewhere for you.
Well, he, you know, now he's 10 years old and he's like too old for that now. So it's back in my man cave now.
Yeah, I was going to say you should have him take a look at my shelf because I have the stuff from when I was younger than him on my shelf.
Yeah. And I also had that original. I don't know if you remember that. I forget what anniversary it was, but it was the original series. It came in like,
yep.
It was like a replica of the bridge. I loved that set too, because each one of those figurines, not only they had the display stand, but they each had a communicator and a phaser. It was, I was able to do many, many dream episodes with that play set.
Now, if I remember correctly, that one came with a captain's chair for Kirk, right? Or
It did.
Okay.
It did. But it was like, I think it was like paper or cardboard.
Oh, okay. I thought it had actually come with a chair and everything else was cardboard. Okay.
Not that I can remember, but.
No.
See, I didn't have the bridge set for the original series. So they were always on away team missions all the time. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, it's funny you say stuff like that because, you know, I've got the Galoob Next Generation figures on my shelf back here. And they had Picard, Riker, Data, Geordi, Tasha, and Worf. No Crusher, no Wesley. You could get Q, a Ferengi, an Antakin, and a Selly. And that was when Galoob stopped. You can go out online and you can see that they had the prototype of a Wesley Crusher figure and they ended up not making it. So I had a G.I. Joe that I used in place of Wesley Crusher whenever I would play with mine. Now the G.I. Joe is long gone, but the Galoob figures I still have. So,
yeah, I never got the Galoob ones. I did get some of the old, and obviously I know I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for saying, but I had some of the old Star Wars figures. I remember I had the old
the
Luke originals. Skywalker from Hoth, and I think I had a Stormtrooper. And what's funny is I actually used those two figurines to trade for a Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, CCG card, you know. So, you know, that's the other interesting thing about collecting is sometimes you collect certain things and you leverage them and you use them to get some of the things that you want more. And
yep.
I've used a lot of things over the years to get the Star Trek things that I've wanted.
So was there any particular episode? I mean, you mentioned the motion picture. Is that what kind of got you moving into collecting stuff, or was there any other particular episode that might have punched it up a notch for you?
Well, I tell you what the motion picture did for me. It was the whole scene looking at the Enterprise was that got me into the ships, I will say.
Yep.
Because another facet of collecting is I used to like to collect like the models and you know, some of the ships as well. So I would say the motion picture really got me in that ballpark. But really it was TNG. And like I said, I was a young kid at the time. So that was my happy time, my playing with those figurines, playing out some of the scenes that I was watching on the Next Generation. I know I've talked about this in the past with you, but the first episode I ever saw live was Future Imperfect for TNG. And I always loved that episode because in the future they had like a Ferengi at the at the nav position. And, you know, they had a lot of different aliens. And I remember being fascinated with that Playmate set because they had a Ferengi in the Playmate set. And I would kind of, you know,
play out that scenario
where the Ferengi was there. And then of course you had the sequence with Tomalak in that episode. And of course you had the Romulan in that Playmate set. So a lot of things I think stemmed from that episode initially. But it really was my love of Star Trek, watching the movies, you know, watching the show, watching the original series episodes. I mean, you definitely know that I did many, many of scenes with Kirk fighting the Gorn. That played out a lot in my bedroom. I forget who played the Gorn of my figurines, but
I thought you were saying you forgot who the actor was that played the Gorn.
Oh no, met him a few times.
Yeah, I figured you must have.
And he did give me a Gorn buck too. So,
well, if Star Trek had its own Toys R Us instead of Jeffrey the Giraffe, you'd have what, Slar the. The Gorn, Slar from Enterprise there in A Mirror Darkly.
Was it now, bringing up the Gorn, did you have the old original Gorn? Because wasn't he like a different color? Wasn't he like brown or something?
Yes. Yeah. So the
not original, even the right uniform.
Yeah. The original Mego, it was actually, if I remember correctly, it was the plastic pieces from Land of the Lost that were put together to resemble a Gorn. And then I think they put a Klingon uniform on him. If I'm remembering my history correctly.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think it was from that show,
The Toys That Made Us. Yep.
You know, even the, what was it? The Spock hat, you know, they just figured
it's,
they could,
it's canon could, now.
Yeah.
It is canon now.
They figured they could just take any toy and put Star Trek on it, and so kids are going to buy it. So, which we would,
which we do, yeah,
yeah,
exactly. I'd kill for one of those helmets right about now.
Yeah, I would kill too because I would use it to trade for some of the other items that I need.
Oh, I would use it for an album cover for this episode. All right, so we've passed the Blessed Exchequer. He's reviewed Jamie's profit and loss and deemed that Jamie has made a profit in his collecting life. So it's time to move on to the Celestial Auctioneers.
Now let's take some time to talk about our friends at Science Division. Mike, did you know they've made the world's first interactive Tribble that you could control with your smartphone?
I do know that. Jay and Kalia are collectors too. They've put all the love that you would expect from a fellow collector into their product. I've had the chance to talk to them a number of times about that product and to be able to get Emily involved with them as well, because Emily is a huge fan of Tribbles and collecting Tribbles. And so she got to talk to them about it. And now Emily has her very own smartphone enabled Tribble.
So, you know, it's so interesting, Mike, you were talking about being able to use this thing on the app. Did you know when you download that Section K7 app, you can do all sorts of things with your Tribble? You can give it a name. You can assign it to a ship. You can even put it in different modes, such as at ease or on duty or even watchdog if there are Klingons around or if you happen to have that pesky co-host trying to take all your collectibles. You can even have an attack at the push of a button. But we all know in the end,
Tribbles are not dangerous.
So as an exclusive for our listeners, you can receive $5 off your very own Tribble when you use the code Cyrano, that is Cyrano, as in Cyrano Jones, Bill Smith's favorite Star Trek character, you can use the code Cyrano at checkout.
Science Division. Troubles never been this fun. And we thank our friends at Science Division for sponsoring this week's show.
Celestial Auctioneers, and why aren't we bidding for our new lives?
So the Celestial Auctioneers accept bids for a new life. So, Jamie, let's talk about a specific part of your collection that you seem to maybe spend more time putting into building up than any other part?
Well, I would say it's definitely autographs. And I mean, I know you're probably looking for one field, but I'm going to split it off into two things. 8x10 autographs and autograph cards, at least in the realm of Star Trek. That's mm-hmm. really what I focus on. I've gone to so many conventions, so many Las Vegas conventions, and I've met so many of the actors that, I mean, I've kind of gotten away from the 8x10s because, I mean, you've seen my wall.
You have no more room.
There's no more room to put anything out on there. And, but now I've really, really, really focused a lot of my attention on the Star Trek autograph cards. It's really kind of taken on a life of its own as of late. So I would say that's the primary focus of my attention right now is the Star Trek autograph cards.
Well, since you separated them, let's start out and talk first about the 8x10s. So you said you've been to tons of conventions, you've met all kinds of people. So where does your 8x10 collection stand at this moment? Oh.
Actually, I didn't expect you to ask me the number. So,
oh, I'm not asking for a number. Just generalities. So as far as collecting, completed it?
I would say in my frame of mind, I've completed it. Now, of course, there's been things like Picard that's come out and stuff mm-hmm. like that, that, you know, I'm trying to push away that completest inclination in me. But if you look at the first six of the series, the first six major series, so original series, Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, and now Discovery, mm-hmm. I have all the major characters, so the principal cast members, I have every one of their 8x10s. And I have many of the secondary characters as well. But so those six series, if you were a major character in any one of those series, I have your 8x10. So that's my completest with that. Obviously, there were some that, you know, I had to acquire, mostly the original series. You know, I never got a chance to meet Leonard Nimoy, one of the biggest disappointments in my life. That I never got that chance to actually meet him in person. Mm-hmm. I never got a chance to meet DeForest Kelly because I really didn't get into the autograph collecting piece until after he passed away.
Yeah.
I believe he died in what, 98 or 99?
99, yeah.
99. So I was 15 at the time. So I really wasn't going to conventions and things like that. My first 8x10 autograph that I ever got, it was a convention, I believe, here in Rhode Island. It was Robert Duncan McNeil. It was actually the first 8x10 Star Trek autograph that I ever got. And what's interesting is I actually don't have that autograph anymore because I ended up trading it to somebody else to get other autographs that I needed. Because I ended up getting another autograph of Robbie Duncan McNeil in person in Las Vegas that I kind of liked a little bit better. So, but yeah, I pretty much have every principal cast member, most of the, and a lot of the secondary characters, like in Deep Space Nine. I mean, if you were a predominant secondary character like Aaron Eisenberg or Mark Alimo, Casey Biggs,
mm-hmm. Andrew Robinson.
Yeah. Andrew Robinson. I got, I'd say Deep Space Nine is probably the one I got the most. Deep Space Nine, TNG, I got the most of. But you know, that's been a big part of my collecting is getting those 8x10s and going to the convention, and it has a lot of sentimental value to me because it's kind of the first formative years of being with my son. That was something that we kind of did, and it's kind of branched off to photo ops. Our first photo op we ever did was with William Shatner. And I mean, the signature on this 8x10 is atrocious. I don't even know what he wrote on the thing, but, you know, seeing my son at that age of, I think it was like two, in that photo, it has tremendous sentimental value to me. And then, you know, the one that probably has the most sentimental value to me was the Patrick Stewart one. And I know we've talked about this several times and in other forums and other podcasts of, you know, how much Patrick Stewart has meant to me. Obviously I have tremendous amount of respect for him as an actor, his work, his body of work, the different things that he's done, the different genres he's done, but, genuinely one of the nicest people I've ever met. And, you know, that picture to me, really kind of encapsulates, you know, my collecting. It's very, very, you know, if you see it in my collection, it's very predominantly in the center of my autograph wall. I do have cast photos too as well. I have the Next Generation cast. I do have, you know, a nice large black and white photo. I have all seven of them. I was able to spring for the cast photo at the TNG 30th anniversary, I believe it was the 30th in Vegas. We did that. The one disappointing thing about that drives me absolutely crazy though, is that Jonathan Franks wasn't there because his flight got delayed. But so that picture has a lot of sentimental value to me as well.
And you have John Delancey in this place, right?
I have John. One. It was John Delancey and Denise Crosby. They had to replace those two. And I've had all of them autograph that as well. And then another piece that I started collecting as well was once I got the William Shatner, once I got the Patrick Stewart, it became very important to me that I get those photo ops autographed. And then I started kind of that branched out into, I want to get all the captains. I really wanted to get all the captains, the photo ops of my son. And then obviously my love is TNG. That's my Star Trek. I love all the other ones. They're all 1B in my mind. TNG's got the special place in my heart. So I have photo ops with every principal TNG cast member as well. So it's the captains and the principal TNG cast members. Now, the only disappointing part about this whole thing is Avery Brooks.
Boss Khan.
He is the one guy I was not able to get. And I have an 8x10 by him. In fact, Creation actually gave it to me because he didn't show up to the Boston convention. But it just so happened that the last year he went to Vegas, that was the one year I didn't go. So that's, for me, that is one of the holes in my collection that absolutely drives me crazy, that I do not have that photo op with him and my son. And I hope one of these days he just, you know, for old time's sake, decides to do one. Wherever it is on this planet, I will be going to go get that picture.
Jamie will be spending all the money for that one.
Yeah. the entire Divine Treasury will be empty.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to your card collecting. I know you blamed me a little while ago for your fan set collection, your fan sets collection now, but I'm gonna take credit on this one too, because I had started getting the autograph cards through eBay and I wasn't going crazy. It was just having a card here or a card there as part of the sets that I had collected. I remember the text conversations going back and forth. You're like, oh, there's just so much of that. I don't know if I can get into that. And then one day you said, you broke me down. I started picking some up.
Yeah, see, this is the problem with me with collecting is once I start, that's why I try not to start things, because once I start it, you're that's done. It. I'm done. I have, and then it this is going to sound so stupid, but I'm sure there are collectors out there who can sympathize with me. I ended up getting a few of the cards that I had wanted, and I had kind of in my mind said to myself, this is it. This is all I'm going to get. was what I just acquired. And the person that I bought these cards from threw in a couple of bonus cards. I'm trying to even remember who it was.
It's the gateway drug.
I'm trying to think who the character was. I think it was Joey. Was it Joey Ehrenberg?
Yes. Yes, it was.
It was Joey Ehrenberg.
Because I remember you messaging me that day. No, I'm sorry.
Joey Oresco.
Oh, okay.
So for our listening audience, this is the guy who played Brawl in the Vengeance Factor episode. Now, you guys are all sitting there at home thinking,
he's a nobody.
He is a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't going to collect the nobodies. But because this seller put this one card as a bonus, like as a giveaway card, I started saying, well, maybe I should start putting together that entire set. And then that's when the rabbit hole started. And it has just continued to expand and expand and expand. So now I'm at the point where it's encompassed all the next generation style cards. It's encompassed all the autographs from the Star Trek Inflection set that came out a year ago and all the movie cards. And I've made sure that I've stopped there because
you want to stay married.
Yeah. I can't, you know, and I look at it this way, the two things that mean the most to me from a Star Trek standpoint are TNG and the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really where I, you know, dug my teeth in. Seeing all those movies as a kid, you know, seeing Star Trek III as the CBS evening movie and taping it, watching it over and over and over again, watching the motion picture over and over and over again, mm-hmm. buying that VHS tape of The Voyage Home, watching it over and over and over again. The movies really had a huge impact to me as well with TNG. The original series did as well, but that was really my sweet spot, was the movies and that. So that's kind of where my collecting in the autograph cards realm has gone, you know, having that entire complete movie autograph style card and having the complete TNG autograph cards. And like I said, I do collect Inflections as well. And there were some of the other series characters in there. I also have delved into the 50th anniversary captain sets and the dual autographs. So everything encompassed with those is what I've been, you know, searching high and low and attempting to put together.
So this has been an incredible stress on your Latinum supply, I can imagine, as it goes.
Oh, yes. And, you know, and I know I've said this recently, but you know, one of the other things that I've collected over the years, non-Star Trek, is, you know, sports cards, you know, particularly Hall of Fame baseball cards, rookie cards. And, you know, I had a large collection of Tom Brady rookie cards that I paid nearly nothing for because I bought in 2001 or 2002. And, you know, so in recent months, I've had to leverage some of those to get some of the things that I've wanted. But you know, right now this is what I'm interested in. So, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something about me and my collecting is I once I focus in on something it becomes all consuming and I kind of ignore some of the other areas of collecting sometimes because I'm so focused on that, you know, whatever that item is.
So I'm glad you talked about that because one of the things that this section deals with is the art of collecting. And you mentioned it. Part of that is needing to leverage maybe stuff that you have in your collection to be able to get the stuff that you're looking for. So yeah. Talk to me a little bit about, because I know you do this. Talk to me a little bit about negotiating for an item.
Yeah, so I'm a big negotiator. Obviously, I'm big at communicating with sellers, and I'm always looking for the best deal I can possibly get. Which is, I mean, that's the only way you're going to really get what you need. And, you know, I noticed for myself too, it's like, especially when you're putting a large collection together, like a card, an autograph card collection, it's, you have to be diligent. You have to be going on, on places like eBay every day, looking at your favorite searches and isolating. And, you know, I've known with myself now is, you know, certain cards I know I can get, or I know I could get a lot easier. Sometimes you have to focus on the ones that are rarer. You know, a lot of these autograph cards, some of them, there's only 100, maybe 150 in existence of that one particular card. So sometimes when those ones pop up, you don't even bother to negotiate because you risk not even getting them. So you have to really know at what points to negotiate and at what points you got to just say, well, whatever they're asking for, I got to give it to them because I might lose out on the opportunity to get it. I've had a couple of those, but for the most part, I've been able to leverage relationships. I love building relationships with sellers. You know, I love reaching out to them saying, hey, listen, I've looked at what you have listed. I know I'm going to buy a lot of stuff from you. Can we work out a deal for this? And then I'm going to keep coming back to you. And you know, I've seen that, you know, that it goes a long way when you start buying. And, you know, and I've had situations too where I wanted, you know, 15 or 16 or 17 cards, and, you know, I had to buy a lot of 30 or 40 of them. Maybe I already had some of them. And you know, what I just do is, you know, I'll buy that lot because sometimes I weigh it out and I say, you know, in the long run, it's going to be better off for me because I'm going to get them cheaper, and, you know, I can turn around and sell some of these other ones. And, you know, so I've turned around and sold a lot. In fact, you know, I have a guy that's buying pretty regularly for me now. He's buying up all the common TNG autographs that I've had. He's buying them off one by one. So
he's doing what you were doing.
Exactly. You know, and he's leveraging me now. But yeah, there's definitely an art to it. You know, and another big piece of it is, you know, cataloging and, you know, I guess you could say using a checklist type thing. What I was trying to do and put together became so complicated and so large, as you know, Mike, that I ended up making my own checklist / price list. That is one, like 7 pages long.
Yep.
And in fact, I think you've used it for some of your stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, this is the stuff that means a lot to me. This is the OCD completist of me that likes this part, cataloging it, highlighting it. Like, even when I highlight something incorrectly, I like print it out again and have to highlight it again. You know, it's just, or if something's spelled incorrectly, I got to fix it, you know. Like, I want it to be, it's part of my collecting. It's part of what I do. It's part of my technique, how I go about it. So it's important to me that I, you know, have my system and my method. Another piece of it is, you know, is knowing the price of things. Well, that's a big piece of it too. So sometimes you have to really, you know, you get the price guides, the Becketts. I have price guides and Becketts for every category, every sport category, every non-sport customizable card game, you know, every category, you know, because you need a starting point to know. It's not always perfect. And like I said, you know, you can have some situations where, you know, you're looking for a certain item and you can get it a lot cheaper than the book value because the market is saturated with it. And there's a lot of it out there. And then there are some times where you're going to have to pay more than the book says it's worth because there's not a lot of it out there. And I've noticed too, especially when dealing with people who collect Star Trek cards, is a lot of these people, it's either, it really comes down to two categories. Either you're a collector or you're a big distributor. There's like, there's kind of no middle ground. There's not a lot of people that are like middlemen that buy and sell it. It's like, you either collect it wholeheartedly and you're not selling it. You're not giving it up. You're literally putting together every set and every piece of it, and it's not moving from your collection. Or you're buying in mass quantities, cases of cards, and you're selling it for the sole purpose of selling it. This that's the one thing I've noticed about Star Trek cards. It's you're either one or the other. Whereas I've seen with some of the other type things like sports cards, there's a lot more of secondary market. There's not a whole lot with Star Trek because the collectors, it's Star Trek. It's sentimental to them. It means a lot to them. They ain't giving it up. And if they're giving it up, they're getting a pretty penny for it in a lot of cases. So that's definitely something I've noticed collecting the Star Trek autograph cards.
All right. Well, you've passed on and you have been accepted to a new life. But before we're done with that, there are awards to hand out. So as Star Trek fans know, from the most toys, Kivas Fajo was searching for the one thing that eluded him, and that was Data to add to his collection. So the Kivas Fajo award of your collection, what is the one collectible that eludes you right now?
Well, you know, obviously there are still some cards that I'm trying to put together for my set. I thought about a couple different things. I thought about right now I'm looking for a Gene Roddenberry signature cut card. There's only 30 of them in existence. So I kind of thought about saying that, but I think the Kivas Fajo award would have to go to my Avery Brooks photo op. Oh, that is killing me.
Well, and unfortunately, it seems like it might be something that will elude you for a long time because that is a personal item. It's not just like, hey, I can go out and get an 8x10 that's signed by Avery Brooks.
And it's not even just the fact that I don't have it. It's when it comes to my collection, I love being able to tell people I have everything of a certain type of thing. And I love telling people I have a picture with my son and all the captains, but I can't really say that because I don't have Avery Brooks. So it bothers me more, I think, than anything else in my collection or that I want. That one probably bothers me the most. And a lot of it has to do with that, like I said, that connection that I have with my son.
Okay. All right. So the Grand Nagus was very fond of his latinum and building up quite a collection. So for your Grand Nagus Award, what is the most valuable collectible from your collection?
All right, so you're asking Star Trek specific.
Star Trek, right? Specific, okay. Yep.
I think probably the most valuable item would probably be I have a cast photo of the entire original series. It was a picture. I believe it was from either Star Trek 5 or Star Trek 6. I think it was Star Trek 5. It was from the movies. It was the entire cast autographed. It was a limited edition to 2,500. I would say probably from a value standpoint, that would probably be the most valuable item in my collection. Mm-hmm. I would say probably that one.
Okay. So that's the cash value side. So now you go to the inner light, and at the very end of the episode, when Riker presents Picard with the Resican flute from the probe, he clutches it tight to him because of the sentimental value of it. So what is the collectible in your collection that holds the most sentimental value?
Well, you know, I had to do this since you picked the Resican flute as the name of the award. It would have to be my photo op with Patrick Stewart and my son. That photo, for anybody that's seen it, you know, and maybe it's something that we can obviously show in a picture on social media. Mm-hmm. A lot of my social media, you see it on there anyways. That picture has tremendous sentimental value to me. Patrick Stewart's my favorite captain, my favorite actor of all time. Like I said, I don't want to go too much into the story, but, you know, my son was having a really tough day before we were getting ready to go to that photo op. And how Patrick Stewart handled that whole situation, my son was crying, was screaming, was doing all sorts of stuff. And, you know, he could have easily said, you know, get these people out of my photo op. But he didn't. He you know, really took the time to make it a wonderful experience for my son, got my son to calm down. And we took this remarkable picture that, you know, I will treasure, you know, for the rest of my life. And then, you know, the best part about it was when we went back up to go see him again, to get him to autograph it. You know, a lot of the things that I get autographed, I do have them do it to me. I know it decreases the value of the autograph, but to me, the autographs are sentimental to me. Mm-hmm. So I like them saying my name. Patrick Stewart said that he didn't want to autograph it just to me. He said, you know, I really want to autograph it to you and your son. And so he did that to Jamie and Blake, Patrick Stewart. And that really kind of started a trend, or what we started doing with those captain autographs. And those is from that point on, every time we went to go get an autograph or on a photo op, it was always to Jamie and Blake. So, you know, that photo started that whole trend that happened. And so it, like I said, that from a memory standpoint and a sentimental value, that picture is number one in my collection.
Awesome. Well, Jamie Rogers, welcome to the Divine Treasury. You've passed all the Ferengi tests that say that you are greedy. No, I don't know what the Ferengi would say, but from a collectible standpoint, you definitely are within the hallowed walls of the Divine Treasury. So we thank you for your collectible story, and we look forward to you assisting on a regular basis with us, chatting with others about their collectible story. We're looking for collectors that would like to be featured on the Divine Treasury, someone who is as passionate about this as we are.
So in order to find us, you can find us on Twitter at @divine_treasury, on Instagram with the same handle. We're both on Facebook, and we can be found popping into Camp Kittimer from time to time. So if you'd like to be on the show, direct message us on those platforms, and please send your pictures and videos.
And there's a reason behind that. We're also doing a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to, because part of the fun of us having a show about collectibles is everyone being able to see what your collections are like. So that's where you're going to find a video if it's submitted. You'll see pictures probably in a slideshow format of the collections of our guests, parts of our collection. From time to time, you might see us go on there and do an unboxing of something new that we've gotten in the mail, and who knows what else we'll have on there.
So listeners, if you can deal with us talking about things that fill our homes, you can subscribe to the podcast by searching for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
You can also support the Divine Treasury and the Trek Geeks Podcast Network by supporting us on Patreon. Get access to unedited recordings of every episode on the network, as well as other exclusive content and so many other awesome perks.
If you'd like to become a producer on the network or get access to the raw audio for the Divine Treasury, head over to patreon.com/trekgeeks.
The Trek Geeks Podcast Network. No one talks Star Trek like we do.
We'd also like to give a special thank you to 5-Year Mission for allowing us to use their awesome music on this show. Collectors, listen up. They're writing a song for every episode of the original series. And these aren't parody songs. These are songs based on the show itself. So to find out more, go to 5yearmission.net and put some CDs in your cart, because we know in collecting, it's not about downloadable content, but it's about the physical media. So pick up year 1, year 2, year 3, and year 4, as well as The Trouble with Tribbles and Spock's Brain. Make 5-Year Mission a part of your collection today.
So that brings us to an end of episode 1 of the Divine Treasury podcast. And I apologize, because on our next episode, you're going to have to listen to somebody who pontificates way too much about themselves. Yeah, you got it. Episode 2 features me, Mike Bovia, as interviewed by our co-host, Jamie Rogers. So until then, we thank you for listening to The Divine Treasury. The Divine Treasury, connecting through collecting.
Music for The Divine Treasury is provided by 5-Year Mission. They're writing an original song for each episode of Star Trek. Hear more of their music at 5YearMission.net. The Divine Treasury is a production of Coconut Media Works. Executive producers Bill Smith and Dan Davidson. For more great Star Trek discussion, discover the other shows of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network at TrekGeeks.com or find us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Coconut.